Appreciate Brother Mike's message this morning.
Amen.
It's nice when somebody preaches a message and the Lord just kind of confirms what your message is going to be. Because Brother Mike preached on having a name. I'm going to preach on this guy who destroyed his name. So I tell you right now, beforehand, I love you guys. I really do. The Bible says, speak in the truth in love. And there's things you'll read through in your Bible and you're like, man, this guy went through that and did that. And this is one of those times. And it's not an easy message to preach. It's a hard message. So let's pray and we'll get in. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your message. Lord, I thank you for your correction. Lord, I thank you for your comfort. Lord, your conviction. Lord, and your care. Lord, your compassion, your charity. Father, I thank you for saving my soul, Lord, and pulling me out of a pit. And Father, I'd have never even thought I'd even be here, Lord. And I just pray today, if there's someone here, Lord, that's just drifting afar off, Lord, that they'd heed this warning of a message, Lord, and just see where sin leads. And Father, I just pray for this time, Lord, to speak clearly, Lord, that your name, Father Jesus Christ, would just get honor and glory. And I pray this above everything in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 28, if you would. I know last time Pastor was here, he was going through 1 Samuel. And as you go through here, you can kind of study out Saul. And Saul is a great picture of failed leadership. And that's putting it lightly. 1 Samuel chapter number 28 and verse number 3. The Bible says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. That goes right there with, and for sake of time, we won't turn there, but that's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, when they were supposed to get rid of all those people. Not just put them away, but like put them away. Amen. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched them in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Neither by claims, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman with a familiar spirit. Can I say right now that the only spirit you ever get familiar with is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. I mean, if you're not saved today, and I mean, even if you are saved, I mean, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but the devil will still talk to you. That's what the devil's doing here with Saul. But you get that Holy Ghost, you're sealed with the day. If you've been born again, that Holy Ghost dwells in you. You should get familiar with that Spirit of God and that Word. Christian. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman here that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And look at this. And Saul disguised himself, kind of like Ahab, and put on other raiment. And he went, two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. I mean, man, this just gets scarier and scarier. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land whereof thou layest, thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid for what thou sawest. For what sawest thou? Excuse me. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stopped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Distressed for the... And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And God has departed from me, and answer me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore thou doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake for me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of his hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, thou executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee in the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow thou and thy sons shall be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the hosts of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, that there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all that day or all night. Now listen to this. And a woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, behold, thy handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in thy hand and hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken now also unto the voice of thy handmaid, and let set me a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they arose up and went away that night. That's like a Halloween story. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, man, I remember when I'll tell a quick version of the story. I remember I didn't get saved till I was 29, and I say this story out of shame. This is the most scared I've ever been in my life. But when I was a kid, I had a friend named Brian Zeckin, and he lived in the house. But he had these sisters, and what they did, play with this thing called an Ouija board. You ever heard one of them? And we'd make fun of them, his sister and her friend. And one night, they'd write all these things down. They'd be talking to these spirits. And I said, that stuff don't work. And so they threw this thing away. And she said, don't play with that thing by yourself. And I went and played with that thing by myself. You know what that thing spelled out when I was playing with by myself? It spelled out devil. And that thing will move around. I mean, there's a spirit world here that is absolute crazy, man, that I want no part of. And I remember in my room that one night, all of a sudden I look up, and just from here across my bed, like here, I see this shadow of a person with a top hat like an undertaker. And I look back like this, I see, and there's nothing behind me. And I look over here, and there's that shadow right there on my closet. And I look back here, and there's nothing behind me. And I look back here, and the shadow is gone, and all of a sudden my curtain goes, and I jumped out of my bed. I had a water bed. I did one of those, like this, out of my bed. Flew up and I go, Dad! Like 15 some years old, 16. And I open my door and there's my dad standing there. And he goes, what? And I go, nothing. Man, I've had guns in my face multiple times. Nothing scared me that bad. Wow. Nothing. I was so scared. Never forgot it. I say that as a warning and as a shame. Mm-hmm. Lord's protected me. There's places in this life you shouldn't go. Hey, amen. You could call this, if I was going to title this message, I'd call it The Fall of Saul. You know, here Saul's seeking answers from a witch. This is also Saul's last meal, if you would. Interestingly enough, we got Saul's first meal recorded in here. And if you wouldn't mind, if you turn over there to 1 Samuel chapter number 9, and just look at these. No one say coincidence. Look at how these comparisons here. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Saul's first meal is recorded. You could call this the call of Saul. First Samuel chapter number 9, and then verse number 15. It says, "In the, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man." Now you know the story. Saul is going to be king. Israel wants a king. We know the story, right? Taken for granted that you know it. "Tomorrow about this time," verse number 16, "send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, over Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee, this same shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." This is the man of God. And Samuel answered and Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go there up before me, the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thine mind upon them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house?" I mean, right then he knows. I mean, he ain't at the witch's house. He's at the prophet of God. I mean, don't even get to look for those asses. You're like, oh. It's like when you get in a church service and you're like, "Man, the Lord, the preacher knows what I'm going through." No, he doesn't. God does, though. You're like, "Wow, in the world they know that." It's the seer, man. This guy knows God. Verse number 21, "And Samuel answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite, one of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the what? The chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave to thee out, which I said unto thee, set it by thee." And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon him and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this day hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people." So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and they came to pass about the spring of the day. Love that. That Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid thy servant to pass on before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Verse number 10, or chapter 10, just verse number 1. "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Big difference there. I mean, at one point, Saul's all the way down here. But that's not where he started out. You see these comparisons. I mean, in his last meal, it's like a Halloween. But his first meal, it's like Thanksgiving. And I'd like to point out in the company he was with in this chapter, verse 9, verse 22, he's with God's people. This is where the Lord put. This is where he met the Lord. This is where he was called. He's with God's people. Them that were bidden. Those are the people that Samuel had chose. But in chapter 28, verse 22, he's with his partners in crime, looking for a witch. I guarantee. I'm willing to bet he wasn't with Abner.
No.
There ain't a chance he's with Abner. He might have been with Doeg, or one of his buddies, and he's with a witch. My handmaid. I'd like to say that the notice also between these two differences, the place he sat is different. Verse number, chapter number 9, verse 22, he's in the chiefest place. Man, he's in the best seat in the house where God put him. But in chapter number 28 and verse 23, he's sitting on a witch's bed. I'd like to say that also the difference there, the house he was at. Chapter number 9, verse 22 is the parlor. He was in a parlor, chose by a prophet. Chapter number 9, verse 22. You know what a parlor is? It's a living room. But in 28, verse 8, you know what? He's in a witch's house. He's in a room of the dead. I'd like to say then he also the difference in the food he ate. Here he's got in verse number 9, verse chapter number 9, verse 24, he's eating a shoulder. That was Saul's portion. Look what I've set before thee. And everybody's looking around going, wait a second, isn't this Samuel's? Isn't Samuel supposed to be this? Something's happening here. Why does this guy get this anointing that you're supposed to get? And everybody knew something was different. But you know what Saul's eating there in chapter 28, verse 24? He's eating a fatted calf. Not like the prodigal, though. He ain't eating it within the father's house as a servant and a son. Now he's eating it when he's rejected, and he's eating it with a witch.
but he's king? No. I'd rather have it the other way, I'll tell you that. I'd rather not go any of those ways, tell you that.
Notice the desire of the Lord is different. Chapter number 9, verse 20, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Chapter number 10, verse number 1, and the Lord anointed him and he drew close. Chapter number 28 and verse 16, you know what it says? He says, you know what? You're the Lord's enemy. That's scary. I'd like to point out his departure is different as well. Chapter number 9, verse 26, I like this. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day. I mean, here he is. He's anointed. He's going to get anointed. God's got a new purpose for him in life. It's the spring of the day. I'm going to send you away in the spring of the day. Squirrels are going to run by. Birds are going to be chirping. I mean, that's how it was there with Adam, right? I'm going to come visit you in the cool of the day. Man, that is cool. But when Saul there at the end, you know what? He's on the floor of a witch's house, goes to her bed, and he leaves at midnight. And I don't know how you guys think. I mean, I don't know how you think, but when Saul's sitting on that bed and his last thoughts, I mean, is he just, you know what I mean? Is he just thinking, this is what I think. I don't know. Does he just have that thought like, how did I get here? How did I go wrong? Like Brother Mike said, do you ever think on your name? Do you ever think on just, how did I get here? How did all this happen? I'm going to tell you how it all happened. First thing he didn't do is he didn't obey the voice of the Lord. He did not obey the voice of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Is the account. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And he says, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them till they be consumed. Verse number 3, now go and smite the Amalek and utterly destroy all them. This is what the Lord said, and to spare them that they slay both men and women and infant and suckling and ox, and camel and ass. That's what he's supposed to do. But he doesn't do it. The Amalekites, there was a type of flesh in your Bible. And he brings that flesh, which was supposed to be like going over there in Joshua. Joshua gets that flesh right when he goes over to Gilgal. And he brings that flesh back there, and we know the story here. Samuel just kills them all. Kills Agag. He wasn't supposed to do that. We don't want you to bring your worldly stuff. We don't want you to bring the king's meat back here. Right. You know, amen. And Samuel tells him, verse chapter number 15, verses number 26. He says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord and hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Look at verse number 10. It says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. I think it's worth saying that it was after this point that Samuel never even went back around Saul for what he did. That's scary. That scares me. I don't want to finish like that. Stuff like this is written in your Bible for a warning. I told you this wasn't going to be like, oh, thanks, Mike. That was such a, you know. It's a warning. Yeah. The Bible says in verse 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul unto this day of death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. You know, it wasn't easy for him. Samuel didn't like it. It wasn't happy. And it's not happy when you see around there and you go around and you're trying to live your best for the Lord. And I've been in this 20 years now. 20 years. Maybe longer. I mean, some of you have been saved a lot longer than that. And we could get up here and we could probably just have testimony time after testimony time after testimony time of people, of teens, of pastors that have just fallen by the wayside because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. You say, where did it start? That's where it started. And check their name. It wasn't real. I got a list of people. I mean, I'll give you one I probably already mentioned. My better friend Aaron Nielsen destroyed his life drinking. His nickname, Mike said that, his nickname was Boozy. Had like 4 or 5 DUIs. Great guy. Saved. But he couldn't get that. He'd get a little glimpse of it. He'd get about a year of sober, or about a month, 2 months of soberness. And then one of his old buddies would come over. And he ended up in the hospital. And I told him, I said, Aaron, I told this to somebody. I said, Aaron, I think if you don't quit screwing around, I said, I think the Lord's going to take you out. And I gave this guy a ride back and forth to work for years, about a little over a year, when we did the Cabela's. And you know what he said? Word for word. He said, I do too. Aaron's not with us anymore because he didn't obey the voice of the Lord. People say, what do you got to say about drinking? The Bible says, I didn't hear nothing about it. The Bible says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever there is deceived is not wise. Amen. So if you think alcohol is good for you, you're not wise. Period. I bet Aaron wishes he would have hearkened to that word. I'll skip past some of these others. Like I said, we could have testimony time after testimony time. Some of you are thinking on some right now. Where'd that brother go? Where'd that sister go? Where'd that person go? That person's gone. Let me say this and how Saul got there. He obeyed the voice of the people. 15:24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And you start listening to other people, especially if they ain't walking with God. Careful of your counsel.
Right.
I'm all for counsel. I mean, if you got a Bible question, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? But the Bible does say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean on thine understanding, and all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's what the Bible says. You know, his counsel, his statute, his commandments, they're all for us to read. And when you start ignoring that, that's where it starts. And then you start, I'm just going to go seek this guy's advice. Or I'm going to do what makes them happy. Careful. Yeah. Especially you young people. It never starts out, you know, you're just at the witch's house.
Right.
It don't just start out there like that. Well, we were at the witch's house and I got saved. No, that never happened. You know what I mean? It started out, I rejected over here. I didn't really want to go to church. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to do these things. I wanted to please my flesh. Look at 15:22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord asked any great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? Is in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better than sacrifice, and hearken to the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is in iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I mean, you start rebelling against the word of the Lord, you're like a witch or a wizard. How long are you going to kick against the pricks and rebel against them? 1 Samuel 13:12, he forced himself and he took of the offering. Remember that? That was the first time. I don't need to wait on Samuel. I'm just going to do these things myself. Yeah. I've prophesied with prophets before. I can be the priest. Right? I'm just going to do it. Let me tell you something. I got a gun, but I'm not a cop. Right. I got jury duty next week. I got a hammer. I'm not going to go sit in that judge's seat.
That's right.
I'm going to be behind bars. You know, that's not my place.
Right.
I don't know what those guys know.
Right.
It ain't my place. Self-will. Saul seeing the people scattered, and he tries to draw them unto himself in 13:11. I'm just going to give you some of these references. We won't turn from them for sake of time. But careful, you try to draw people unto you instead of pointing them unto the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? People ought to see Christ in you when they're asking you questions like that. That's the wrong way. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This is First Samuel chapter 13, verse 12. This is the time before that they fought the Philistines was in chapter number 7. One of the greater revivals there, chapter number 7. And you know what Samuel does? He takes the lamb. He takes that lamb, he lifts it up, and then the heavens thundered, and they knew. They said, you know what? This is the Lord. That lamb's a type of Christ in that chapter. And Saul just didn't do it. Saul wasn't willing to wait. Saul was trying to draw people unto him. Peer pressure. Let me say this. How he got there. He sought to be a somebody. He didn't like the songs that people sang about him. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. Verse number 7 and 8, and the woman answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Careful. Careful you start lifting yourself up. Trying to make yourself look good. I remember when David was trying to go out there, he's going to fight Saul, and Saul goes, you know what? Let me put my armor on you so you look good. No. But he hadn't proved it. Of course, there's a whole tie in there with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and I won't go into it. But I like how David uses what God gave him. Just like Jael did. Amen. 1 Samuel 24, verse 21, Saul doesn't want his name destroyed. But he did that all by himself. He just ruined it. Like Pastor's message last week, his integrity was gone. Let me say this, he didn't want to be the little guy anymore. Heard somebody say, you can't be too little for God to use you, but you can be too big.
Yeah.
We will turn to these two verses. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number, actually you turn to 15 with one hand. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 17. And grab number in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21 first. This is Saul talking. This is Saul talking when he's going to get anointed, when Samuel goes there with him. And he says, and Samuel answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Something happened. Got a little too big for his britches. Thought he's going to be a somebody. And that pride kept in. But he started out small. He even looked good. But can I tell you something right now? God uses little people.
Yes.
I like that God uses little people. I've heard some of the teens get up here and give testimony, man, the touch of God was on them.
Yeah.
You say, that don't happen. You must not have been here. I've seen it. I've seen little people.
Yeah.
And I've heard preachers get up filled with pride and then nothing. Tinkling cymbal. Nothing. I think of 2 Kings chapter 5, the little maid. And there was a little maid that was Naaman's servant. You know, 2 Kings chapter 5 doesn't even exist. The story of Naaman doesn't exist without that little servant, that little maid. Doesn't exist. Because someone was just willing, some little person was just willing to stand up for God and say, yeah, hath the Lord said. John 6:11, you got the story of the little lad, little fishes, 5,000. But none of the 12 had the food. But what is this going to be amongst so many? Well, watch what God does with a little person and what He can literally give. You know, if you keep God big in your life and you stay small, that's a good thing. The Bible says He must increase, but I must decrease. You got to keep that. I know it just seems like I'm airing out His dirty laundry, which I am. But hopefully it's a warning. You think how Saul got here? How about this? He rebelled against God's anointed. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, verse 23. Samuel's telling him, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now I wondered if he would just, as he's sitting on that witch's bed, if he's just sitting there and that verse, amen, just popped in his head. Or that saying, Samuel said that. Now, as a born-again child of God, the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you those things if you're in His Word. Thank you for that lonely amen out there. It is. If you're in His Word and all of a sudden you're going to go about and you're going to sin some, or maybe you're even doing something good and the Lord goes, boom, puts out that verse, that's the Holy Spirit of God talking to you. But I know this Old Testament doctrine, you can't have the Spirit taken from you now, but Saul could back then. That's Old Testament doctrine. But you know what now? You go to sin, you're like, man, I'm being stubborn in this issue. I can't believe that guy said that something. Careful. Mm-hmm. Stubbornness is a sin of witchcraft. Mm-hmm. He tried to kill David twice with a spear. 1 Samuel chapter 8, David was anointed. Saul knew he was anointed to be king.
Right.
Yes. He said, man, I got to take you out. I'm not letting you have my spot.
Yeah.
People could do that at workplace. People do that all over.
Yeah.
It ought not be done in God's place. It ought not be done in the church house.
Yeah.
It ought not be done in God's with God's people. Saul listened to an evil spirit. He did. Do we not remember that? That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to know what the Scripture says. Because you start listening to the wrong spirits, especially if some spirit's telling you about brother so-and-so, you ought not, you know, I can't believe they did, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't listening to the right spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
If they've got a problem with another brother, if they got an accuser of the brethren, that's not the Holy Ghost. But you know what David would do? David would play a song. David would play a song. And what would happen with that evil spirit? It would depart. So that lets me know if you're going to play. That's why I go to some of these, my friend, other people's churches and preach. You know, and even we come here, people playing that piano, that's going to drive away those evil spirits from the service. Amen.
Amen.
But if you start to get up here and playing AC/DC, Back in Black, all them things that come, hey, hey, hey. You know what I'm saying? We ain't playing Metallica in here. We ain't playing whatever else. You know, we ain't playing that garbage. No. Bringing them in.
Right.
We're going to play some godly hymns, some godly music, and the spirits are going to go, bye-bye. Godly preaching's going to send them out. They don't want to hear that. Some people won't like it. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Right after that, teaching yourself and admonishing one another in spiritual hymns and songs. Not AC/DC.
No.
Sorry, Adam, that's probably old and dating myself. There's probably a lot of other stuff now. Thank you, Marshall. You're like, yeah, you are, brother. All right. First John 2:11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. I got to constantly keep my heart right. I've been in counseling sessions where people have willingly admitted that we've been listening to that wrong spirit. Especially as a leader. But marvel not, because all of us have. The part is if you're going to listen to that spirit and you're not going to get in your word, and if you don't get in your word for day after day after day after day, you know what voice is going to be a little bit more prevalent in your mind and in your heart and in your life? The wrong one.
Yeah.
Especially you start listening to music that's not right, not right, not right. I don't even know why I got off on that, but praise the Lord, I don't know. I don't even have that in the notes. Careful. Saul plotted to kill David with his daughter. I know there's kids in here. He says, you know what? You go down, I'm going to give you my daughter. You can marry her. But you're going to have to go and we'll just say, kill 100 Philistines. If you know your Bible, you know the, anyhow. But he goes down and kills 200. It's a weird story. But some people have more faith than others. David spared Saul twice. His heart smote him. How about you? When you think ill of somebody else, when you want to stretch your hand against the Lord's anointed or maybe just some of God's people, does your heart smote you? It did David. Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? I'd like to just say that this is the last bit of Saul's dirty laundry I'll air out. But Saul rebelled against the priests. And that's crazy. I think this is, might be where Dan's coined his phrase, and I've taken it from Dan. I got it from Dan. Saul the psychopath. So thank you, Brother Dan. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I will turn there. 1 Samuel 22. Saul here is feeling sorry for himself. He can't find David. Doeg sees that he took the sword of Goliath from there that was behind the ephod. Verse number 14, then Amalek answered the king and said, and who is faithful among all the servants as David, which is thy king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant know nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said unto the footman, verse number 17, and stood about him, turn and slay the priests, and the Lord... Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall into the priests of the Lord. And I like that. They said, buddy, you're crazy. And the king said to Doeg, turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. He killed 85 people. 85 of God's people. Man, you're a psychopath. Doeg answered the call, no integrity. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 23:14, the Bible says Saul sought David every day. You know why he sought Saul? So we know why Saul sought David every day? To kill him. And I got three good verses in John I want to close with. But I want to ask you guys this question. Saul sought David every day to kill him. Now, do you think if Saul would have sought the Lord with all his heart, and he repented of all those things, do you think it would have been different? I mean, do you think it would have been different?
Yeah.
I think it would have been different. I really do. I think with all my heart. You want to know how I know that? Because I've listened to the wrong voices before. I've had wrong thoughts towards people. But there is a difference. There's a difference between Judas and Peter. And there's a difference between Saul and David. And it's that heart. It's neat where you see, and we'll get there, but John chapter, let's just turn there. We'll be done with these. We'll be done right here. And when you get saved, you become a son of God.
Amen.
You know, you've called upon the Lord. Christ had died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He rose again on the third day, and believing on that, you know, you're saved. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, then shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Once you're saved, that Holy Spirit dwells in you. Okay? But sometimes people just get saved and they just call that fireproof. I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord for that. But are you staying in His Word? Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll just read these few verses and we're done. John chapter 8. And I go through all that just to really just get to these verses. Pretty simple. John chapter 8, verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what you got to do in here? You got to continue in His word. And you'll be a disciple. See, what's a disciple? Just, it's discipline to continue in His word.
Amen.
It's like Brother Mike was saying this morning. You got a purpose in your heart to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not that I got to, it's I get to.
Amen.
I look forward to reading my Bible. I get stressed out sometimes when I can't, because I got to send off this invoice, or I got to go do this, or da 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 da. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? And then you go, you get in your book, you start reading it, and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's why it's best just to do it in the morning for me. And even when I get home, just run in and start reading it on my bed, shut the door, leave me alone. You know what I mean? I'm not lying. I want to be that disciple. You know what? I want to continue. Like it says over there, for sake of time, in 2 Timothy 3:14. We'll turn over there to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. And in verse number 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now that's how it's going to be. We got to have love for one another. And you know what it says? I mean, you be a disciple, people can get up here and quote Scripture all day long. But how are they going to know that you're one of the Lord's disciples? Jesus gives you that answer. He said, read again, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Mm-hmm. Unity. Mm-hmm. People come in this church, are they going to see, or are they going to see the love that we have?
Yeah.
You know, praise the Lord, we don't have that in here, you know what I mean? And I'm not preaching against anything. Obviously, we're not having, you know, a Ouija board contest downstairs, you know what I mean? But it's just a warning. There's a difference between Saul and David. Saul never wanted to repent, but David did. We could air out David's dirty laundry, and we could have a whole nother hour. But Jude, I'll point this out too. John chapter 13, Judas betrays Jesus. And Jesus foretells of it. But you want to know what else Jesus does? Jesus says, you know what, Peter, you're going to deny me too. John chapter 18, Judas betrays him. John chapter 18, Peter denies him. But Judas didn't repent. And Peter did. That's why, who you find in Acts chapter 1? Peter. Feeding the sheep. Feeding the lamb. You come up, Brother Dale, Brother Dan. Like I said, I don't know if it's, I know this wasn't just your average the Lord loves you. How are we going to grow if we don't grow in love? How are you going to be one of the disciples if you don't obey His word? Continue in His word and love one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. I pray you do something with the message, Lord. Help us, oh Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.